Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Hi, nice to have you with us on this Sunday morning. The Giants go for the sweep down in Arizona. It is Madison Bumgarner on the hill against Merrill Kelly, 30 years old. 8-12 lifetime, as Bernie Pleskov said, a late bloomer. Team has lost 8 of their last 10 when he's been on the mound. 24 homers, 136 innings, 15 solos. Doesn't walk many, 36 and 109 strikeouts, but we'll see what happens today. Bruce Jenkins joins us from the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Well, very good. And first of all, you saw quite a game yesterday. Let's talk a little bit about Houston, which I sort of disparaged them a little bit yesterday. But you got to see them. The A's played well, and you were out there for a glorious day of baseball in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous day. They had a real nice crowd out there. You know, for them, it was announced at 21,000. It looked like that. There's plenty of room to find a seat, but it was a good day, good crowd, and the A's just peppered them with hits. I mean, it wasn't the home run ball, as Susan Slusser's story pointed out, but they just were raking the whole day. And yeah, Houston's in a little bit of a down period right now. I mean, typified by Josh Reddick, who's going so bad, they benched him for a spell. He hasn't homered since, I think, June 28th or something. But, you know, you look at that kid, Yordan Alvarez, who hit two incredible bombs yesterday, and realize that he's just part of, you know, a great order with Springer and Altuve and Correa. It just goes on and on. So the A's are probably catching him at the right time, and you know, they're in position to sweep him today, which would really be remarkable. It'd cut it to a 5.5-game deficit.
Well, and Matt Chapman used that series in San Francisco to kind of get his bat right. 3 more hits for him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you knew that wasn't going to last. He's just way too good of a player to stay down for long. And, you know, when you watch Chapman and Matt Olson especially, you realize that, you know, they've got two guys that are going to be in that same category as all these the Houston superstars. You know, they're in that league, and that's a great thing about Oakland's ascent, is with those two guys anchoring the infield. And really, their whole lineup is tough. And as A.J. Hinch said after the game, he said, you know, they know how to win. The A's are good, and they're going to, teams are going to have to deal with them.
Well, the Giants are having some weekend down in Arizona. It's like the old days again. You know, home runs, 46 hits, 28 runs. It's like the old days again.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what, you hope that they hit well when they go on the road, because there's so many parks that bear zero resemblance to their own park, and they're doing that, which is just great. I mean, Arizona looks like they might want to make some noise, but the Giants just completely poured it on. I mean, Pilar goes 5-for-5, this is what they have to do to stay in it, aside from the obvious things about pitching and play good defense. I mean, they've got, when they get on the road, they've got a hit. I can't wait to see, as John Shea was talking in his column today, about when they get to Fenway in a few days. That's really going to be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. They go to Fenway in September, right? And they go to Wrigley in a couple of days here. That'll be a potential.
Yeah, it's a ways off for sure. It's about a month off, but they do play. They play the Red Sox with only 3 other series left in the whole season, so it's kind of a weird interleague interjection. But in this case, it's pretty entertaining. And you know, you got Mike Yastrzemski going up where his grandfather played, and Sandoval and everything else. So it's awfully good.
Did you get a chance to see the Logan Webb star yesterday, Bruce?
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. I'll tell you. I'd seen some video of him in the minor leagues, and his stuff looked kind of mind-blowing, but now he's out on a big league diamond. The changeup looks like vintage Tim Lincecum. You cannot throw a better changeup to a left-hand hitter. Completely disappears low and away. The breaking pitches are great. The fastball's got some heat. He goes high and low, and he's a competitor. I mean, that's my takeaway, and I think, you know, Bochy was especially impressed by him, and I thought it was just terrific, really. I mean, I thought it was a cut above. It's just one start, but to me, he seems a little bit cut above some of these other guys, your Suarez and Beatty and even Derek Rodriguez, for pure stuff. And he does look like he gets after it, so could be promising.
Boy, excellent review. I agree with that 100%. He's got that bulldog mentality.
Yeah.
And he's got that look in his face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like that. He's going to pitch next weekend against the A's. Sean Anderson's going to get a rehab start, and I, as Adam likes to say, we ain't going to see him around too much anymore. He's going to be down at Sacramento, I think, trying to get his job back. But, Bruce, Farhan has got this thing cooking. He plays for today. We've talked about it all morning. And he'll worry about tomorrow. And if he needs four moves to get two fresh arms up here tomorrow, he's going to go ahead and do it. The transition has happened, and it's working.
Yep. Every day I get a text from Matt Chisholm, the Giants PR guy, with a new transaction. Never fails. Sometimes two. But this is the position that Farhan is in. And I agree. He's done a great job. I mean, you know, bringing up Webb, I think, is very, very timely. Because he could get in this rotation quite easily. And, you know, we're all familiar with the Yastrzemski story. And Dickerson is having a little tough time. I got to think he's not quite healthy. He doesn't quite look the same up there. It'd be awfully good if they could get him healthy and playing most of the time in September. But as we always say, the numbers to tell every story when you're looking at the standings. And they're 2.5 out. A bunch of teams ahead of them, but 2.5 out. You know, it's fantastic. I don't think they have to worry about the Reds or the Padres anymore. Arizona, I just don't see it. I think it's all about, you know, looking at the Mets and the Phillies and the Brewers and the Cubs, and the Nationals are going to have trouble with as you called it, Marty, on Doolittle, who's now on the IL. He was just losing. He completely ran out of gas, and now he's gone, and that's a vulnerable situation for them. But it's going to be really fun to watch all these teams in the race.
Yeah, and Bruce, I'm looking at the schedule. Like, they don't have a lot of – I know you mentioned the Padres. They do get the Diamondbacks again. But going into September, you get St. Louis, the Dodgers. There's a little bit of a soft spot, it looks like, with Pittsburgh and the Marlins at home. But outside of that, you get Atlanta, you get the Dodgers, you get Boston. It's a tough little run here down the end of the season.
Yeah, they're going to need to clean up on that Pittsburgh-Miami homestand. And, you know, the Pirates hit the ball pretty good. Josh Bell and Brian Reynolds, and they're dangerous. Probably less so here than they would be in Pittsburgh. But those are two series the Giants should win. And if they get through that road trip with Boston, Atlanta, and come back and they're still in it, they've got Colorado, which they should handle here. And then it ends fittingly with the Dodgers, who probably won't have anything to win at that point. I mean, they definitely won't. They won't have anything to win. It's not a great schedule, but I think it's fair, and it's not going to overwhelm them.
Well, they're the third-best road team in the National League. They're only a half a game behind the Dodgers to be the second-best. Atlanta, mm-hmm. I think, is the best. And all these tough series are on the road. They hit on the road. They can't hit at home. And, you know, the thing, look, Wrigley, it's August, Bruce. It's perfect baseball. It's a great – I wish you were going. I'd love to read your story every single day this week. And maybe we'll read it next weekend when the Giants are over at the A's in Oakland. But, come on, it's Wrigley in August. It's going to be 102 degrees. The ivy is going. The place is nuts. And you got Beattie and Rodriguez and Samardzija against Hamels and Darvish and Hendricks. And this, I say it every week. Talk to me on Wednesday. And every Wednesday they're still in the mix. And this is another one of these tests for the Giants coming up this week.
Yeah, and it's a head-to-head thing in the race. I mean, you know, they're guess two games behind the Cubs, and who knows what it's going to be when they meet up. I mean, that they're trying to knock each other out of it. What could be better? And, you know, like you say, I mean, August getting into September at Wrigley Field. I mean, you wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I've been lucky to be there many times, and be fun viewing from here.
We were just talking about the Pirates real briefly, Bruce. I wanted to ask you, and I was talking to Marty a little before off topic here from the Giants, but it is the anniversary. It would be the 85th birthday of Roberto Clemente today. And I just wanted to, you know, I never got to see him play. I know he's one of the greatest right fielders of all time. Can you give us a memory or just a thought on Clemente?
Yeah, I saw an awful lot of him in the 60s. That's one thing about being an older guy. You can say you saw Clemente and Mays and Mantle and Koufax in their prime and that great era. But let me just put it this way. Roberto Clemente played in 14 World Series games, and he hit safely in every one of them. He was a big a man for the big moment. He had one of the best arms ever seen in right field. He was an unbelievable off-field hitter. I mean, some of those line drives that he hit would be sailing out of the park to right center now. And he'd deadpool you if necessary. His numbers are unbelievable. His spirit, his character, just the man himself, what he meant to Puerto Rico. And, I mean, it's just his story. It fades a little bit with time, but you know, for those of us who remember him and got to see him, and I'll never forget the, you know, those two World Series that he had, 11 years apart. One of the greatest players of all time, without a doubt. And you know, because he played with Aaron and Mays and Mantle and Frank Robinson, you know, he's in that category, but usually maybe a notch or two below, but that certainly doesn't diminish one of the greats and one of the most fun players to watch. I think he really set a tone for the Hispanic and Latino players, playing with flair and style, and you know, they were showmen without being obnoxious about it.
Boy, I saw Clemente one time, Bruce, because I lived in Florida in those days. I didn't come to California until May of 72. So, of course, I didn't see much of Clemente here. But I saw him, believe it or not, 1963, Houston, Texas. My uncle lived in Houston. I went to visit him the summer of 63. Mm. And I saw the Pirates play the Houston Colt 45s. And here was Clemente. And I'd never seen him before. And I'll never forget it. The way he stepped away from the pitch, he stepped in the bucket, as they said. Yeah. But I swear to you, the bat never moved. It never moved. And everything he hit, in my mind, in those days was a line drive. So I'll never forget that. And that was the only time I ever – and the Dodgers came in next. And that was the only time I ever saw Drysdale and Koufax pitch live.
Mm-hmm.
And Koufax, I'll never forget it, sitting behind home plate, the ball dropped off a table. That is what I'll always remember about Koufax. But yeah, Clemente was one of the best. They hit him. The Dodgers had him. They tried to hide him from Branch Rickey. And
yeah.
The Rule 5 draft, the Pirates grabbed him. And the rest, as they say, is history. Really good. Well, boy, great to have you on today. We could talk about this one for another half hour.
No question.
Yeah. Two things. One, Clemente, before we leave that, the Latin player has had such a big influence on Major League Baseball, and it goes back for so many years to the Cuban player, the Puerto Rican player, the Dominican player, with the Honduras player now with Dubon.
Yeah.
Do you think they should retire 21 permanently for Clemente?
No, I'd be all for it. It's hard for people today to really relate to how he made you feel when you watch him. You know, Mays is like that. Certain players just have that charisma. Reggie Jackson, in Clemente's case, I mean, he was truly the complete ball player. But he meant so much to Puerto Rico. You know, he was trying to raise funds for his country when his plane crashed. And he's I'll tell you, Marty, just an image for me. In way back in 1972, I was working for the Santa Monica Evening Outlook, and they sent me on a baseball trip. And one of the stops for the Dodgers, that covering the Dodgers, was Pittsburgh. And on a June evening in 72, I watched him go 3-for-5 with a two-run homer off a kid named Mike Strawler. But I just remember after the game in the Pirates locker room, it's full of, you know, veterans, Stargell and Al Oliver and Sanghian and Hebner. But I just had this image in my mind, Roberto Clemente in a corner locker. He was just – all he was doing was straightening his tie with a white shirt and a black tie. And it was regal. You could just tell this was a man apart. This was the man in that locker room. And it was his last season. 1972 was his last season, and he finished with 3,000 hits. I mean, poetry in every sense of the word was Roberto Clemente.
You know, Marty, I went back. I tried to find during the break there what I thought might have been the summer of 63 games that you would have seen Roberto Clemente. The Pirates won both of them. Would have been July of 63. Is that what you said, Marty?
Yeah. Yep.
So July would have been like trade deadline day. You saw him on the 30th and the 31st. He went 2-for-5 in one game, 1-for-4 in the other. You probably saw him hit a double, Marty.
And who pitched? Did you look it up?
For one of the games here, I've got a guy named
Bob Bruce.
No. I've got Friend from
Bob
the Pirates.
Friend,
and then I got a guy
great
named
pitcher.
He went 6 innings, and then I got a guy named Face who went 3 innings and picked up a save. Friend and Face, those are your two pitchers in that
one. A guy named Face, Bruce.
Better than an elbow named Face.
Yeah, there you go, Roy Face.
Elroy Face.
Those Those two stories are 19 years apart, mine and yours. That's Clemente.
That's incredible.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And Cepeda talks about him all the time. And Adam brought it up to me earlier today, and Adam was always on this stuff. I think they should retire at 21. I think it's appropriate.
Oh, I absolutely agree. That'd be a wonderful gesture and extremely well-deserved.
Boy, did you look up the Dodger games, Adam? Because I know I saw Koufax pitch there.
Let's see. This was the Dodgers in Houston. I'd have to go back. I was looking at the Pittsburgh schedule. Right. We'll work on it for you.
I'll let you look at that. Bruce, the other thing I want to
see. Koufax in 63, that's pretty much all you needed to see.
Yeah. The ball dropped off a table.
He had two pitches. The fastball that seemed to rise and the curveball that definitely dropped off the table.
And they booed like crazy this 18-year-old kid, Rusty Staub. Like crazy. He can't hit these. Yeah. So baseball's so funny. It really is so funny. Hey, the Giants are in this thing, Bruce. 61 losses. Just keep looking at the loss column. And I think they figured something out with Farhan. I honestly think we're seeing something. It's like the clouds are parting and the forest is opening up and we're seeing something.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, they don't have any really glaring weaknesses when they take the field. They're certainly not the Atlanta Braves or the Dodgers, but they play well together. They've got spirit and heart, and they believe in all those cliches. And the lineup is starting to look good to people, you know, and in the Connor Joe, Michael Reed era, it was you couldn't believe what you were seeing. And they have hit on something in a number of ways, and you know, the young pitchers are going to have to come through. I think, you know, Logan Webb, you don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he's going to be big in this thing because if he can get in there and throw like that every time out, they'll have a decent rotation and the bullpen will get stronger. So we'll see.
Well, Marty, sorry, I was doing the research here. I did find a box score. It is loading for us here. Not to get off the Logan Webb conversation.
As you're doing that, I'm hoping I'm right.
Yeah, well, you were right. I found the schedule. You're 100% right about the scheduling.
Thank goodness.
It was actually Danny McDevitt.
Really? Thank goodness. Isn't it funny how, and you talk to so many people and I interview so many people, and players always have it right. But fans, sometimes it gets mixed up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I know the feeling as well. Yeah.
So Marty, right. I think you saw. Here we go. Staub did hit into a double play in this game. Sandy Koufax, 9 innings, 3 hits, shutout, 4 strikeouts.
Oh, my.
How about who pitched for Houston?
Bruce.
How about that? I remembered that. Bob Bruce. Yeah, not Damon Bruce, Bob Bruce. That was it, not Bruce Bochy.
There you
either.
Go, hell of a memory.
That's a good one that I actually remembered that. I'm impressed with me. All right, very good. Charlie Manuel is back, and Paul White and I talked about this, and we had fun talking about it. As you know, his advice is, hey, get up there, see the ball, rip it, you know. And he's settling everybody down from the intensity of Gabe Kapler and all the stats and all the craziness that goes on. That's helpful. But it made me think of Jack McKeon, Bruce, 2003, when he came with a cigar, sat on the bench, and took over for Jeff Torborg. And the next thing you knew, they won the World Series.
Yeah, I was there the night. Was it Beckett and pitched a shutout in Yankee Stadium to end it?
Yep.
And we're all sitting there after the game, and McKeon's got the cigar, and you're thinking, son of a gun, this guy just won the whole damn thing. I mean, there's such a history of, older managers in the game, these grizzled guys, and they're spitting tobacco and everything. And I don't know about the tobacco end with Charlie Manuel, but he kind of reminds you of those days. In the meantime, he managed a World Series champion. They won the National League pennant the next year. I mean, he comes across as a bit of a bumpkin, but he's really anything but that. There's an awful lot of knowledge in there. And you're right, he is probably a refreshing tonic against Kapler's wacky ways.
But I sort of look at that and I think about maybe him being the juxtaposition the same way like Bochy and Farhan are. They're kind of working in concert, using the analytics, yet maybe using the inspiring of players the old school way to get the job done.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I it's hard for me to imagine Charlie Manuel having a binder full of numbers.
Oh, hell no. No, absolutely not.
I think he's mostly just working with hitter strokes and, you know, approach the guys and we'll let Kapler take care of, you know, the shifts and the pitching changes and all that. But, you know, they've got a little something going now. Sometimes you can't even explain why, but I like it. I'd love to see the Phillies and the Giants in that wild card game.
Yeah, well, he says shorten up, you know. That's his advice.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll tell you something. It's part of what baseball history is all about. Because remember, look, Billy Martin would be fired, and who'd they bring in? Bob Lemon. Mm-hmm. Billy Martin, and that, you'd have to refresh my memory after he managed the A's, who came in probably
well,
not
Steve Boros.
Oh, is it Steve Boros? Okay.
And the team was sinking. It was really not good in any respect.
But they interviewed
La Russa and Leyland, but they hired Boros.
Okay. All right. He was the intellectual. He read books.
That's yes, he was. Great guy. Tremendous yeah. guy. Maybe not cut out to be a manager.
But see, what they do, Bruce, and maybe this is sort of coming back full circle a little bit for us, is they take, you know, the manager who's a strict disciplinarian.
Right.
And they bring in the guy who says, oh, look at Bob. Hey, how about Bob Brenly and Showalter?
Yes, perfect.
You know, they bring in the guy who writes the lineup on a napkin in a restaurant.
Yeah, it was a famous scene in spring training when Brenly first took over. He had what he said was Showalter's playbook, and he set it on fire. This is what I think of the numbers, fellas, and then they go out and win it all. So,
and they won it. So this is the deal. Maybe we're coming back to that a little bit. Maybe there is that room for that part of it with the analytics. Maybe we're coming back.
I've always claimed when people say, "Well, Bochy's the last of his breed," I don't believe that at all. I think there's going to be a mixture, but I think there's always going to be room for somebody who's really been around, and Bochy's proving that. I mean, he could not be more contemporary as far as knowing his pitchers, the other hitters, the moves to make. He's been on a real roll recently. And, you know, he got through this with what was a pretty terrible team for several weeks. So, yeah, I definitely don't think I think there's always going to be room for old school thought, just as, you know, the analytics has improved everyone's gathering information.
Yeah, Brenly wrote the team rules on the back of a napkin.
And there was just one, I think, drink heavily.
That's great. Well, the last thing I want to say, we have one of those anomalies today. When I looked at the Arizona lineup, we got Kelly catching hitting eighth and Kelly pitching hitting ninth.
Well, we need is High Pockets Kelly over at first base.
George.
And Machine Gun Kelly in the stands.
There we go. Machine Gun Kelly. Nice reference
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Good reference,
very
Bruce.
Good. Bruce, a pleasure, as always.
Always.
Have a great Sunday.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Anything better than Bruce Jenkins on Sunday?
No. Saturday's pretty good.
Yeah. You're right. I'll say the weekend.
There you go. How about that? Bruce on the weekend.
Yeah. Go ahead. This was fun.
Yeah, having a good time, Marty.